Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you, here with Adam McCaffrey, Director of Therapy and Recovery Services for Pawnee Mental Health, and also therapist Jardine Ingram, also with Pawnee Mental Health. And Jardine, we wanted to talk about some information that you brought with you this morning.
Yes. So Adam asked me to talk about a specific type of therapy that I was trained in last summer, and it's called EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And you can see why we use EMDR, because that's a mouthful. So this therapy uses rapid eye movement. So if you think about when you sleep, and you have dreams and your eyes dart back and forth really quickly, we basically do that process while you're awake and conscious. And it helps your brain to sort of store traumatic or disturbing memories in a way that you can function. It was primarily developed to work with PTSD at first. And now it's sort of been branched out to work with all sorts of different diagnoses. So depression, anxiety, any sort of diagnoses that start with people going through difficult or traumatic things.
And you mentioned PTSD, and it's when we hear about that, especially in the news, it's usually talked about in a very military scope of soldiers, and not discount that at all, but it is more broad than that. You don't have to have been in the service or have something like that happen to have PTSD.
It can be any sort of incident. Yeah. Sometimes I've seen clients who have been through natural disasters, so who've lived through tornadoes or hurricanes, and they have those same symptoms of PTSD. And those look like flashbacks, intrusive memories, so almost feeling like you're right back there in that moment, trouble sleeping, trouble being in big crowds or just being around people in general, having just a general sense of fear, uncertainty about the world around you. So it could be anything. It could be
bad relationships.
Yeah, bad relationships, chronic poverty or difficult childhood even can show up as some of those symptoms in an adult.
Okay. Yeah. And sorry, I didn't mean to kind of hijack you midway through, but did you have some other stuff on that?
Yeah. So to understand what EMDR is, you kind of have to look at what is trauma. And that word gets thrown around so much, but it's kind of the basis of EMDR. So trauma gets stored in your body rather than in your mind. So if you think about a regular memory, if I asked you to talk about a birthday party that you've had, you can think of all the words to describe that birthday party. But for a trauma, it gets stored in your body as feelings and sensations. So let's say if you got bit by a dog as a kid and you see a dog, you might sort of feel all the anxiety that you had when you got bit by a dog. You might get nervous, get that fight or flight feeling. You might even have the spot where you got bit start hurting again. So trauma happens in your body. And what EMDR does is it helps take it out of your body and put it into words and kind of put it in your brain's filing cabinet so that you can go about the world and function like everybody else.
And that really is interesting. When you think about it in terms of the body and really kind of how your mind and body are really kind of one in so many different ways. And I'll ask this question for both of you, because you know, we're learning just so much, really, just in the past few minutes. There's a lot I've learned about mental health that I didn't know, having you both on. Mental health has been really in the national headlines so much since we've had some of these shooting incidents. And when these happen, everybody kind of turns to mental health as far as we need to focus more on mental health. But with that said, and I'm sure you both have been noticing that more, when we have these incidents like that happen, what do you think is like the biggest misconception about mental health services that people don't think about, or something that you maybe both of you hear and you're just kind of like, well, no, it's a little more complex than that?
Well, I think sometimes, you know, when you first started asking that question, I was thinking sometimes people realize or think that, you know, mental health is only for people with serious issues. Like, oh, I don't need to go get help. I'm fine. You know, I'm just dealing with a little bit of anxiety or something like that. But, you know, mental health treatment can be for anybody. You know, I think it's just like any other like physical health problem you might have, where, you know, the earlier you get treatment for it, you know, the better off you're going to be. You're going to have faster recovery. It's going to be easier. So I think maybe that's something like, you know, we see these big events that happen that people label like a mental health issue or, you know, something like that. And then, but then in my mind, you know, that's, you know, a very small portion of mental health issues that happen in our everyday life. And, you know, sometimes people just think, you know, I don't need to get mental health help. I can just, you know, do this on my own, when, you know, we all have things that, you know, it would be beneficial to talk to somebody about and things like that.
Yeah. Jardine?
I would say that I think when Karen Smothers was on the radio right after the Parkland shooting, she said it perfectly. People with mental health diagnosis, serious mental health diagnosis, are more likely to be victims of violent crimes than they are to commit violent crimes. And I think that the media likes to find a way to understand what's going on, right? Our brains want to understand what's happening. Why is all this terror and horror happening in our country? And so they look to mental health because mental health is an abstract thing, right? We're not blaming a person, we're blaming their brain. But truly, our clients are not hurting people. They're hurting within themselves. And the ones that are brave enough to come into our offices are not harming other people. They're trying to have normal relationships. They're trying to date. They're trying to function within their jobs. They're trying to be good parents. They're trying to get along with their parents. They're not looking to hurt other people. And so I hope that as a country we can get to a place where we can stop looking at mental health as sort of the culprit for these acts of violence and start to just broaden our idea of what's going on. I don't necessarily know the answer of what's going on, but I know that it's not just our mental health clients or people out in the world who have mental illness. It's not just because they have that these things happen.
Right, and I think you kind of hit it on the head there. It's usually just kind of looked at because it's not this one specific person. Because it's not necessary, like mental health doesn't have like a party affiliation. So
right.
It's easy to say, well, let's look at this, because that way it doesn't feel like you're getting into the political side of it of blaming a party or a person.
Yeah.
You're just looking at this kind of abstract thing.
Yeah,
as
think about how that stigmatizes a person who might have a serious mental illness. They don't want to tell anybody because people might think they're going to be a shooter. They don't want to tell anybody because somebody might think they're going to be a bomber, which is exactly the opposite effect of what we want to happen, right? We want those people to come to our offices, to go to their primary care doctors and to talk about what's going on and get help. And when we stigmatize their diagnoses, we prevent that from happening.
Brady Bowman here with Adam McCaffrey, Director of Therapy and Recovery Services for Pawnee Mental Health, and Jardine Ingram, who you just heard us speaking, therapist for Pawnee Mental Health. And really, and kind of going back to something you said a little bit ago, Adam, talking about how mental health services are for anybody of any severity of issues, because any little thing can snowball into something if you don't take, just like with anything, you don't take care of something and just kind of let something fester, it could kind of turn into a bigger issue that, Jardine, like you're saying, maybe not necessarily turn you into a shooter or bomber, mm-hmm. but it could have a negative effect on your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And if you can improve your day-to-day life, why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of, in my opinion, it's about, you know, if you're struggling with an issue, whether it's a relationship issue or family issue or, you know, depression, grief, something like that, you know, it takes strength and, you know, courage to decide, okay, I'm going to go get help for this issue. And, you know, but you're going to be stronger for it. You know, you're going to come out a better person and it's going to be, you know, helpful for you. It's just kind of overcoming that initial, almost kind of, you know, like Jardine said, like the stigmatization of mental health and that I'm going to be labeled one of those people or something like that. But overcoming that and going in and having the strength to get help, I mean, you know, you're going to come out a better person.
Is there a hope in the mental health community that this conversation could at least more, kind of in the same conversation we're having with healthcare overall, where we're starting to look at it as more of a wellness perspective of just, you want people to have that access as much as they can to go just keep checking on themselves and just kind of a wellness and not waiting until a severe issue happens until you seek help. Is there a hope in the mental health community that mental health is kind of included in that conversation too, as far as just kind of routine wellness and maintenance?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. And there's definitely a push, I think, for more what they would call like integrated care. So even, for example, we have a therapist that's co-located at the Women's Health Group in Manhattan for 3 mornings a week. And so she's there on site, you know, in case there's any questions that, you know, somebody might have that's a client of the Women's Health Group, or the doctor there identifies, hey, this client or patient is really struggling with, you know, this issue right now. And then they can walk them down to our therapist office who's there at the Women's Health Group, and, you know, they can start getting that help there. So I definitely think so.
And probably the biggest thing with getting into a routine and treating mental health in the same way you treat like a routine monthly doctor's visit is that when something crazy does happen in your life that's unexpected, you're going to be more prepared for it. You're going to be able to deal with it in a better, healthier way if you've already been talking with people about issues. Because when you talk with people about issues, it kind of helps your brain kind of understand things and decompress too. So another benefit. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and take our last break of the hour. We'll come back and talk more with Pawnee Mental Health here on News Radio KMAN. You're listening to In Focus.